colleague Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Rich Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Rich Police Radio. I'm here with a band that is, I was going to say new to me, because but I just saw you play live, about a week or two ago at the time of recording this. So I feel like I'm more familiar than I was a couple weeks earlier. But one of the good things about doing this show for as long as I have done is that I see a lot of band names. I try to follow as many as I can, and I often don't get around to hearing them until a little bit later. And so I think you guys are a great example of that, where I would see your name show up at shows. I was aware that you existed, but I didn't really know what you sounded like and hadn't had the time to check it out until seeing you at the Handsome Daughter recently. And that very much was not what I expected, based on the name. I don't know what I expected, but whatever you guys are doing is better than that. And I really dug the set. So I think the best way to start this off is if the three of you want to introduce yourselves, give a bit of background about the band, and just, you know, who you are, what you play in the band, so people can put a name to the voice. Whoever wants to start.
Hello. We are Until Defeat. We're a three-piece band out of Winnipeg, as most artists on this podcast are out of Winnipeg.
True, yeah.
Me, Aiden, the guitarist, by the way, I'm Aiden, and Harry, our drummer, we've been playing together for like years. I don't have a number anymore. We've just been casually playing, and the last couple of years, all of a sudden, we've been dipped into the local scene and actually doing stuff. And we've picked up Howard as our bassist. I would say hi, Howard.
Hi, Howard.
It's been fun ever since. It's kind of weird. It's crazy being a part of this now.
Well, it's cool because, like I said, I didn't know what to expect based on the band name. And then when I went to the show, it was a punk show. I was there to see my friends in Toaster Bath. I had an idea of what the show was going to be like based on them and Hogg was playing and everything else. And you guys pleasantly surprised me in that, you know, I was expecting just another punk band, but you have a lot more going on than just that. You have this kind of grungy thing happening. You have these noise elements, and it was definitely way, I really dug it. And I was so tired. I didn't get a chance to talk to you guys properly at the show. I probably should have bought a CD and shit, but I didn't. But so how do you define the sound that you play? I mean, I know it's like, no one likes this question because now there's so many like post this and something core and all these different variations on genres. But like, do you have a Cole's Notes version of describing the sound?
I think I'm answering a second question. I think we had like a prearranged agreement not to answer too many questions, but I'm taking the reins again.
I think it was whoever's most qualified to answer the question.
Probably, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
I'm the most passionate about this because I don't care about the genre that we're classified as. I think when we signed up for Punkfest or got asked to like describe ourselves for Punkfest, we said genre fluid.
Right.
So like we're just whatever we want to be. Like I think everyone in this band is so inspired by different things that it doesn't matter anymore. Like we're just making what we want to hear.
Okay, I like that answer, but I also don't like that answer because I mean,
ooh.
everyone wants to compartmentalize everything and put things into categories. And I know it sucks because, like you know, like you said, you have different influences. I'm sure that are coming together to make the sound that you do. But is there some kind of quick version you could do? I mean, I used to be in a band and we didn't know what to call it. And one time on a poster, someone described it as pre-punk art terror, and I just started using that because it was just on the poster and it fit. I mean, do you have any kind of quick version that you would define it? I mean, for someone who maybe has never heard you.
Somebody put our genre as loud on a poster once.
Well, it works.
Loud. We've been called thrash punk. We've been called
friend of ours, Jason Lee, preferred. Yeah, Satellite's crossover as a label.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody also said that some of our stuff is skate punk, but like every person says something different. It's not like we haven't gotten a united answer from like a group of people. It's every individual is called something different.
Well, that's not a bad problem to have. I guess that means you're like, you know, very malleable as far as what kind of shows you can get asked to play, right? I mean, I could see you guys fitting with obviously punk bands. You could fit with metal bands. You could fit with noisier stuff, with thrashier stuff, with, you know, sort of more experimental stuff too. So, yes, it's not a bad thing, I guess. But are there, not to dwell on the genre thing for too long, but are there artists that all three of you sort of agree on as influences, or are you all radically different as far as what you listen to?
I think the two of them agree on more than I agree with them.
I think It's like it's like a web of like bands that we all can agree with, and like somewhere in the middle we meet.
I mean, we all like Bad Religion, but I wouldn't cite that as like a direct influence as much.
Sure.
Like that's a band, like that's a band of all I've heard all of us say that we like, but like Harry's more into like bands like Dream Theater and Iron Maiden. I'm more into bands like, yeah, like Bad Religion. And like I listen to a lot of ska now, for example. But Aiden has like a lot more varied taste than I do in certain ways too.
Like I've been listening to a lot of Slint recently, okay. Godspeed You Black Emperor, a lot of like experimental stuff. So like, but I also listen to a bunch of punk. My main influences, I don't know if you've heard of these guys, Propagandhi are up there. Like just it's everywhere, man.
I feel like that's everyone in Winnipeg. You know,
every Winnipeg band, dude. I'm not unique.
But it's interesting you mentioned earlier too, though, the saying Dream Theater and then Bad Religion in the same sentence. It's kind of a weird combination because, I mean, you know, one is so kind of wanky technical and the other one is so just sort of direct, you know, three chords and the truth kind of thing. And I guess that makes sense. And also bringing up something like Slint in there too, like it kind of makes sense for what I heard at the show where there's a lot of different things going on, but it seems rooted in punk. But then there's these experimental things and more technical things. And I guess that kind of, there is no way to define that. Answer my own question. So how long has this been a thing? Because I know you have an album out. I know you've been around for a little while as this group. What is the history here?
I think officially 2019, we started playing music, but we didn't actually meet anyone in the scene until 2024.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and we started playing a few shows, but that was just two-piece, Aiden and I. Howard didn't join for another few months, so like early 2025.
In February, yeah.
Was that kind of a period of not being in the scene partially related to the pandemic? Because that would have, those years would have been in there, right? In that time frame.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would have. Part of it, I think, was the pandemic. The other part was like, we didn't know how to get in there. We didn't know how to get our foot in until Harry got like picked up by another band.
Well, that's interesting, though, because, I mean, like, I started going to shows when I was about, I don't know, grade 7 or something, right? Like, years ago. And I'm always interested in how people got into the scene, because I think that, like, it seems on the surface like it's easy to do, but if you don't know anyone, you don't have, like, any kind of inroads, it's not necessarily that easy. And I talk to people who are, you know, have been Winnipeggers forever, people who moved here last year, and everyone's sort of way of getting into the community sort of is a little bit different. Some people have a really easy time. Other people struggle to sort of find the inroads. At what point did you actually realize, like, hey, this is actually a thing we can do, where you can play shows and everything? And it sounds like you had a long sort of lead up to this point.
I think, well, our first few shows were, we got on because the other band I was playing in, Phantom Killing, let us on the bill.
Okay.
So I would say kind of once we were getting asked independently of them, which was like, the first shows we played with Howard, that's sort of when we felt like we were in. Plus, Howard was already well ingrained into the scene, far more than Aiden and I were. So we got a lot of friendships and connections through Howard.
And I got a lot of those connections. I was an extra on a movie, Diener 89, and that's how I met a lot of people in the local music scene before I even started going to shows. So it was, by the time I had met them, I'd been in the scene for, I'd say, like a year and a half, but I knew a good chunk of them from that being an extra on that movie. And one of our earlier shows together, we opened up for another band I was in, and that also kind of helped get our name out there a little bit, I'd say.
I was out to get my
you think that at this point, you know, after you've sort of established yourself a bit more, do you have an idea of sort of where you fit in the local scene? I know this kind of seems like it's tied to the genre question, but not really. Like, are there bands that you sort of feel a kinship with, whether they sound like you or not, that you sort of feel like you're part of something?
Shout out Second Floor Patience. I love those guys. It's those guys. Like, that is the band I see us playing the most with, and like, they're all a bunch of dorks like the rest of us. We're all very passionately a bunch of nerds, and
we also play a lot of shows with No Complacent as well. That's in our band that we have a pretty good kinship with, I'd say.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I can see both of those bands sort of fitting some elements of what you do, right? Sonically, I mean, it's not necessarily the exact same thing, but yeah. So what is the I guess when did you put out an album? Because I saw you were selling it at the show. I meant to buy one, but you know, I'll have to hit you guys up for one after. But how long has that thing been out?
That was
May 15th
of this year. Okay, so yeah. It's super fresh then. Still, I mean, we're still in the summer here. What's the reception been to that so far? Like, have you had a pretty good response to it?
I've heard good things.
I've heard good things too.
Yeah, no one said anything bad to my face, so. That's got to mean something, right?
Right.
You haven't seen the Reddit posts.
Yeah. Reddit posts? Oh.
Well, the reason I asked that about the album too is that, like, I mean, I know you, like you said, you've been around for a long time. This has been like sort of a long in the works project. The songs that are on that record, are they songs that you've been sort of working over this entire period of time, or what is that process like as far as deciding, you know, which songs to actually release? Because I imagine you have a lot by now.
Oh God. You'd think that. You would think that. We kind of like did it at a turtle's pace writing songs. I think Warning is our oldest, and it's been around since I was 16. Okay. Being 23 now, so like a couple of years. But like, I forgot the question already. I started talking and I forgot what I'm answering.
The songs, the length of time these have been around for, and yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Some are new. Some, like, we can just like slap out a song in a day in a practice session. Others we need to stew on, and I think it's been good for the first album to like stew on them. But now we've figured out what we're doing and like our sound and what we want out of things. So we've been popping out songs in practices.
The specific range is about 7 years. For the oldest song, and from the point we started recording, probably about a month. That being Week of Fall, we had that finished about like a month before we started recording. So
we got it in there.
We're not good at this.
That brings up another question, though. Like, does the song you record you wrote a month before recording, is it sonically the same as the one from 7 years earlier, or is there like a significant shift in sort of the overall sound of the band and the way that you guys write?
That's a good question.
I'm sure it affected the way that you guys went about it, having a third person there, mm-hmm. like versus like it being a one-on-one conversation, and now there's like a third person, and ideas can get challenged, or like two people can vote 2-1 on one thing. I'd say, but I mean, from my perspective, it was like. I found my specific voice in how he wrote that, and then everything we've written after since I feel like there's a good exchange of dialogue amongst the three of us for it.
Yeah.
are there elements of the songs that are, for you guys anyway, identifiable as, you know, if you're just listening to this, you can pick out sort of who brought which part to the, which song, whether the audience can tell or not? Like, I mean, you know, can you sort of hear, oh, this song is maybe more influenced by this member of the band, contributions or something like that? Or are they more uniform, I guess? Like, I mean, is it, I don't know.
I think everyone, like, brings their own thing to, like, each song. Like, Howard, aside from, like, the songs I already wrote before he got here, I let him do his own thing. And I don't know anything about drums, so Harry can just bang whatever pots he's got. I don't care. But, like, I think it's more like, hey, I'm doing this thing, you're doing this thing, I'm going to do this thing in response to it, and I'm doing this thing. And then we all kind of, like, grow it together. And until, like, we all are passionately, like, extremely happy with what we're hearing.
Okay. Is there a point where you know a song is kind of has been completed between the three of you? Like, how do you decide sort of, like, okay, this one's done, this is its final form, you know? Is there a tell that you've accomplished that?
I think I mentioned this at a practice, like, the other week. I don't know if the other guys agree with it, but for me, it's when I stop having ideas for it.
Okay.
It's when I'm like, I don't want to force anything else. Like, I'm done. This is it. This is what I've naturally put out. I start to think more about it when I
don't want to just, and you don't want to just add stuff for the sake of adding stuff. You want it to feel like it has a purpose, what you're adding. And Aiden's good. Aiden's really good at, like, taking some ideas I have and shaping them in a way that would, like, better suit it. We had a song that we all wrote together that was drastically different than the demo I initially put together. And the song turned out so much stronger as a result of it. And I'm so much happier with it because we were able to take it like a ball of clay and reshape it into something better in every conceivable way.
Yeah, that's cool. That's probably a good way of approaching it too, I think. One of the things that I liked about seeing you live is, and I always like this about bands, regardless of what kind of music they're playing, but the fact that there's a lot of physical element to the live show. I mean, like, you guys legitimately seem like you're into what you're doing, which is not always the case with a lot of bands. I mean, there's nothing worse than going to see a band and they're just standing there the whole time and no one's moving, no one seems to be feeling what's happening. But you guys, I mean, more than a lot of bands too, seem to have you're putting a lot into it, physically as well as just playing the songs. Is that something that you do deliberately, or is it something that just naturally kind of comes from playing these things live?
I'll answer this first because I think about this a lot. Okay. I have to get myself in a headspace, especially when doing vocals. I am very soft-spoken. I work with children, so I have to talk. I'm very patient. But, like, as soon as I'm getting up on stage, I have to get myself upset just a little bit. Because, like, I'm yelling, I need to expel that energy. And I kind of looked at this as, like, I'm getting rid of something that I need to get rid of.
Sure.
Getting it out. And I'm having a tantrum up on stage. I'm jumping around. I'm stomping my feet. I am screaming to you. And, you know, people seem to like it. So whatever. It works.
And for me, I got inspired by, like, the first person that inspired me to pick up bass was Flea, and he's called that because he didn't keep still. He would jump around the stage. And for me, like, I do a lot of physical, I work out a lot in order to be able to, like, jump around and, like, be able to, like, perform in a certain way. And for me, I kind of treat it almost like a workout. I want to go out there and give all that I can.
Yeah.
Because to me, that's what the band deserves and that's what the audience deserves. I'm not going to go and do it half-ass just because I'm, like, having an off day. I'm going to go in there and give it everything I can.
Give it the full ass.
Full ass. Yeah. No half-ass. And the more I do it, the more ideas I get on that part of it too, because the one with a live performance versus, like, a recording, you can feel the energy of the room.
Sure.
And if the people on stage are giving you a lot of energy, that's gonna reflect in the crowd back, and it's just a constant back and forth in a good way.
Oh.
Well, that kind of leads me to a follow-up question that I had, too, is I was thinking about that, too, right? I mean, you're doing something that is that physical live, and there's a lot of, you know, you're jumping around, there's a lot of movement, there's a lot of, obviously, kind of emotional involvement in what you're putting out there. How do you then translate that to the studio? Because, I mean, you know, no one's going to hear you jumping around on a recording, right? So, like, is it possible to maintain that level of energy when you're in a much more subdued environment?
I'll let the other, I answer the question first.
Sure. Whoever wants to, go right ahead. Yeah.
There's one thing that comes to mind for me is like with bass lines, when we got to recording, I was playing one part that I normally play a lot more aggressively and intensely live. I was playing it softly because I was in a different space. And then the other guys pointed it out, like, usually play it like this, and I'm like, right. Oh right, so I kind of did have to visualize being in like a live setting to carry that intensity, because you hear it in the tone. If I strike it hard, you're going to hear it hard. If I strike it soft, you're going to hear it soft. But how do you approach it, Harry? Like, do you anything specific you do?
I play loud all the time. But being in the studio, having a metronome to keep me on track, it is definitely feels different than the live product, I think.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Is it in a good way, or is it more frustrating to play in that kind of situation?
Sometimes our compositions have tempo changes, and I don't like programming those in Reaper. But otherwise, I do enjoy playing to a metronome or playing without. But it's just sometimes, like, I feel like some songs we could do without the metronome because that's what the song deserves.
Sure.
But we typically do it on beat so that we're getting the most polished product we can. Because if you want a more high energy kind of raw product, you can come see us very frequently. We play a lot of shows.
12 that first year I joined.
Just pretty good, yeah, pretty good.
I found my energy in getting really angry at how many, like, I did a lot of takes. I'm going to be so real. Anyone listening at home who doesn't record music, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Recording music sucks. I was miserable. That was awful, actually. Like, I wasn't making anything new. I wasn't creating anything. I'm playing the same riffs I've played for years. It sucked. I got angry. I was upset. And I used all of that into my vocals and my guitar playing. And it was not a good environment. It was not a productive environment. I think I was a little upset with these guys. But you know what? I'm happy with what I heard. And we've made amends. Things have gotten better. And we're back to creating. And I'm passionate again.
I don't think I think there's something to be said about recording it in winter.
Don't do that either. For sure.
You know, like, you can't exactly go outside and enjoy a nice sunny day because it's like -30.
You just got to do five more takes.
It's like a really warm winter too, so it's like all brown outside and it just sucks.
And like my AC and like my heat kind of worked, kind of didn't. So you'd just be like frozen in my car. And after practice, I drop you off. You like scoot into your house like super fast.
Yeah, it's like, all right, that was a good session. I'll see you later, Howard. Yeah, fuck you. Goodbye. Whatever. Talk to you next week.
Did the angriest vocal take end up being the ones you used? Like, did you find that those ones where you were the most pissed off?
There were a few. I think like the scream and doom scrolling was a lot of like, I need to get something out. There was. It wasn't, I don't think it was like because of getting upset, but when we did People Watching, the solo, the bridge, whatever you want to call it, I'm not good at that. I started like chanting People Watching was me like just looking at the ground and I'm just going to start yelling. And we kept that in.
Cool.
There was a lot of like, just a lot of vocals. I was at my angriest, I think.
You're playing the right kind of music for it, obviously, so that
yeah,
it works. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, this record just came out a few months ago. What is sort of next in the works for you guys? Because obviously people are just hearing this. I mean, I just heard you for the first time recently, too, and I'm sure a lot of people are sort of discovering you now that you're sort of out in the world with this record and everything. So what are you hoping to accomplish in the near future?
More of the same. I think we're already working on more music. We're going to get that recorded at some point. We're already talking about that. We've been pumping out new songs all the time at live shows, actually. I think we are going to put out a fourth one August 16th.
Cool.
If that's about to happen or has happened.
It may have already happened, in which case...
It may have already happened, in which case you missed it, buddy. Yeah. Yeah. Come to the next one, and there'll be a fifth song.
we got to keep the trend going.
Yeah. we'll be back to recording in the winter in no time, guys.
What do we got for riffs? Middle school terrible recording on like an old iPhone. Bring it in. We need it.
Right on. What's the best way for someone to find out more about you? I mean, if someone's hearing you for the first time on this show, where would you direct them to? A, hear your music, most importantly, but also to, you know, find out about upcoming shows. It's a podcast. Someone could hear the day it comes out, or they could hear it 10 years from now, because apparently I can't stop making the show, so it'll still be around, I'm sure, at that point. So what's the best, where would you direct them to online?
I'm going to say go to our Bandcamp. Don't give money to other streaming services, but if you want to, they're there as well. Instagram is where we post everything. I don't think we have enough energy to post to any other social media. So Instagram, Bandcamp, everything else like YouTube, Spotify, and those other ones, if you use those.
Right. And then obviously at shows too, right?
At shows, yeah, we do those. We do that. We do that as well. We play shows. We sell CDs. You can buy our CDs. Actually, buy our stuff. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Is that just available at shows, or can you buy the CDs and stuff online as well?
We're working on it.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
We might sell out of CDs before we have a chance to sell them online.
Well, that's not a bad problem to have, yeah.
No.
Cool. Yeah. And then do you have anything coming up in the relatively near future, like the next few weeks after this comes out, that people might want to check out as far as shows or anything like that?
Do we?
I need to check the dates, but I believe it's...
September 17th, we're playing at the Osborne Tap House with Paradise on Fire and the Exodor.
Cool.
Yeah.
That'll be a good one.
Cool, right on. And then I assume it sounds like you play a lot of shows anyway, based on what you were saying before. So people can look you up whenever they hear this, and hopefully there's something happening soon.
We might have a beat on Instagram.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right on. We might have like two shows before that show we just mentioned, because we sometimes accept shows with like a week's notice. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's
not
that,
hard to find us live.
At least means you're being asked to play shows all the time, too, which is obviously a great situation to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
People watching people window. I will see people window. People watching people. Take me!